He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. This is the heart of our scriptures this morning. We are looking at Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 8, only six verses. And right in the heart of it all is this verse. Maybe you know this verse. Do you believe it? He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it, to bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Sometimes we wonder if God is still working in our lives. Sometimes we wonder if it makes any difference at all that I'm a Christian, that I'm walking with God. Can God really change my heart? Can God change this church? Could God still work in those people that are the hardest hearts and transform them? Can God still transform his church, that he would produce unity and a powerful love that would impact our community? Can God still change our families? Can God change a relationship? It seems to be in a rut that never changes. Could our church, First Baptist Church in Calgary, be a vibrant church that has strong but humble leadership, that has a passion for Christ and is sharing the gospel in our entire community where all of us live? And that God would bring new life and living hope and add to our number, First Baptist Church, that God would add to us those who are being saved because the gospel is in our hearts and is on our lips. Could God still do this? In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus." Let's pray that God will do this in us. Father, give us eyes of faith where we have been lulled into complacency or even been discouraged, where our own hearts condemn us, where our struggle with sin seems to be ever present, where we feel hopeless in a change of our lives and our thoughts and things that captivate us, and we seem so powerless and helpless and eventually hopeless. Kind Father, would you quicken our spirits? Would you aliven us with your words? This good work that you began in us, will you continue your good work in us? Let us walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, that we would serve you as we serve one another in love. Oh, Lord, have your way in me. Have your way in us. And continue, complete for all our days until Jesus returns. Have your way. And now, Lord, as we turn to your word, we just humbly pray again. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not there yet, I do want to invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 1. It's on page 1164 of the Pew Bibles, but again, let me encourage you, bring your own Bible. Learn and get to know your Bible so that as you read, you remember these things that you've studied. Let me start in verse 1 of chapter 1. We looked at the first two verses last Sunday. This morning, we're really only looking at verse 3 till 8, but I want to begin at the beginning. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. Both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, for God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. What is wonderful about this passage is verse 6 really is central. It's right at the center, at the heart of this passage. And then there's a section before and a section after. It's like bookends that are squeezing into verse 6. We see that because it's very similar ideas. Both sections, verse 3 to 5 and then verse 7 to 8, he's talking about the gospel. Your partnership in the gospel in verse 5, and then your partaking together with grace in the confirmation of the gospel in verse 7. And both of them are bringing to bear what we understand, what it means for God to do this good work in us. And just like people will often misquote the verses in chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and then I just decide whatever it is I want to do. You'll miss the point if you don't see the context. There is a clear description of what this good work is that God is doing in us. In verse 3 to 5, it is partnership in the gospel. In verse 7 and 8, it is the fact that they are partakers of God's grace. Do you remember how we started the service? Those wonderful words from Isaiah 12 and the beginning of the work in all of our souls by the grace of God. And here it's this continuing work of grace. All of a sudden, we're beginning to understand what verse 6 squeezed into the middle of this passage is all about. So we have to understand what is on both sides, what comes before and what comes after. And then we'll understand verse 6. Look at verse 3 to 5. Listen again. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is very personal. He cares about them personally, but his clear understanding is that God himself, this personal experience of God, my God, Paul is declaring. And Paul knows that this has happened to them from the very first day because Paul was there the very first day. Do you remember last Sunday we read Acts chapter 16? It was Paul who was at the river together preaching and teaching with the women who had gathered to prayer. And what happened? The Lord opened Lydia's heart. It was God who opened Lydia's heart. It's what God did at the very beginning in her heart. And she believed the message that Paul declared to her. He was there at the very beginning, and he gives God the credit. He doesn't just give a list, oh, I love you guys in Philippi. I just want to make a whole list of all the things you're doing wonderfully in the church. No, he says God was there working at the very beginning. He saw it in Lydia's life. And then he declared the gospel to her whole family, and they all believed and were baptized. And then a short time later, in those early days in Philippi, Paul is in prison. And remember, there's an earthquake. And the Philippian jailer is overwhelmed. Remember, we read this last Sunday. And he's overwhelmed, about to take his life, despair. And Paul says, we are all here. And the man humbly says, what must I do to be saved? And he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was there at the beginning of the church in Philippi. He shared the gospel with the Philippian jailer and his whole house. And they believed and were baptized. And then when they're brought out of prison, remember what Paul does? He goes and meets those who are gathering in Lydia's house, and the church has been born. From the very beginning, it was God who was doing it. It's God who began this good work in this church in Philippi. When did God begin a good work in you? I am convinced of this. The very God that began a good work in you will be faithful to continue that good work until Jesus returns. This is his purpose. But Paul says he is thankful. Do you see it in this passage? I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. He focuses on all of them. I pray for all, for you all in verse 4. And his prayer is filled with joy because he knows that they are the real deal. And verse 5 tells us why. Why does he have joy in verse 4? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. What is amazing is it's all of them in the church. It's not just the leaders who are also partners in the gospel. It is the whole church. In fact, that's why verse 1 is so important. Do you see it? Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. All of them in the church. And then he kind of tacks on the leaders. Do you see it at the end of verse 1? And the overseers and deacons. He is not just saying to that church in Philippi and those great pastors, those great elders, those lay pastors, those ones that are helping the church. No, he says the entire church. From the very beginning, what God was doing in Lydia's heart and her family, to the Philippian jailer, we don't even know his name, and his whole family. When Paul says all of you, he's saying to their whole family, to everyone who is in that church, you are all partners in the gospel with me. Do you see what a huge difference this makes for First Baptist Church? To be a part of this church means you must be in Christ. That's verse 1. To all the saints in Christ Jesus, and to all of you, I thank God that you are in Christ. I thank God because, verse 5, you are partners with me in the gospel. To be a part of this church is to be a partner in the gospel. If you are in Christ, you are not just in church every Sunday. That God has begun to take a hold of your soul. And by the grace that you first experienced, that grace, you will now walk in that truth. And the gospel that is in you will come out of you. Remember how we began? Could it be that God will do this in our church? Could it be that God would raise up a vital Christian gospel work in the heart of this city? If you are in Christ, you are a gospel partner. Let me tell you something that my wife will confirm. This fall, I have such great joy that I have a couple great pastor partners. I am not kidding. I go home every day and I say, thank God for Pastor Sean and Pastor Dave. Thank God that together we are talking in the hallways and in each other's office and saying, God, how do we serve your church? How do we help every single Christian grow in their faith, renew their minds in the knowledge of God by Scripture and in prayer? How do we help our church walk in truth? And then on Saturday nights, I'm talking with Sean on the phone last Saturday night. And he says, I love you, brother. Look what God is doing in the leadership. I love it. I love the spouses of these men. The six of us, Leona and myself and Sean and Madeline and Dave and Kathy, once a month we are getting together to pray for you as a church family. And I say with all of my heart, I am thankful for these servants who are partners in the gospel. We are not just trying to build a service. We are not just trying to fill the church with seats on a Sunday morning, although that would be wonderful. I can't wait for the day when I'm sitting up here and I'm singing my heart out, Amazing Grace, and I can hear the congregation more than the choir behind me. I pray that God fills this church with gospel vitality. And I am so thankful for gospel partnership. But this is not about leaders. This is not about paid pastors. Do you see it in Philippians? This is you. This is you and me. If you are in Christ, you are called to gospel partnership. And I thank God for it. I thank God that it's not just the pastors up here with the suit and tie on Sunday mornings into the front. It's all of us. This is Paul's great letter to the Philippians, to a real church with real people, with real struggles. Two of the women can't even get along, and he names them in the Bible. How would you like that? Have your name in the Bible as somebody who doesn't know how to get along. But they are partners in the gospel. We are a very imperfect church. But by God's grace, he is building his church through us. What an amazing passage. And I love it how Paul has such thankfulness in every prayer for all of you with joy. And I love how he defines it in verse 5. Do you see it? It's so clear. Your partnership in the gospel started from the very first day until now. The very first day Lydia's heart was opened by the river in prayer. Guess what? My guess is she went back to the same place and she began to share with others. Gospel partnership. We know that Paul went back to the river because remember the demon-possessed girl kept bugging him for days on end. And then that great verse where Paul, being very annoyed, commanded the demon to come out. We read that last Sunday. From that very first day, Lydia was a gospel partner. It is not okay just to attend church. If you are a Christian, if you are in Christ, you share partnership in gospel work. When the Philippian jailer came to faith, he put his trust in Jesus for salvation. He accepted the gospel and he joined in gospel work. I think the church at Philippi has a great message for my own soul and for your soul. Preaching this sermon this morning is the book of Philippians itself, God. Because it is God's work in us. That's verse 6. Do you see how maybe for the very first time, verse 6 has new meaning and new light because of what came before? This very good work that God is doing in all of us is this partnership of the gospel. This is the good work that he started and that he will complete. And then we see it as he looks to the future. This is this gospel work that is both in Paul's life and in the lives of the church. We will see it as we move on in chapter 1. Paul defines the gospel 9 times in these 4 chapters in the book of Philippians. 9 times he focuses on the gospel. In chapter 1, there's 3 times he says it. Look at verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, chapter 1, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers have become confident in the Lord and my imprisonment and bold to speak the word of God without fear. What is happening? Paul is saying that his suffering, his imprisonment, what's happened to him has emboldened others to speak the gospel with greater clarity because they are partners in the gospel. And then he has few words for the church later in verse 27. And don't worry, we will get there. And by God's grace, we will humbly put ourselves under the word and let it speak to us. Look at verse 27. Now he's speaking to all the church, to us only. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. It's not just when we're in church that we're gospel partners. It's not just our voice and what we say. It's our life. Look what he says. The gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel and not frightened in any way by your opponents. What a powerful message. God, would you do this in us? Here is gospel partnership for all of those who have faith. And Paul will get there in Philippians on the one side. But what is on the other side of verse 6? In verse 7 and 8, he says, it is right for me to feel this way about you all. You see it, Paul has this no favoritism kind of approach to the church. About you all, those who are mature, immature, brand new, and old Christians, those who have had God's grace for all these years. It's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. Both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. We are partakers of God's grace. Every Christian who is in Christ has partaken of God's grace. To whoever receives him, he gave the right to become children of God. What is amazing about these second verses is they are so tied to the first verses. That word partnership in verse 5 and the word partakers in verse 7 is the same word. It's probably a word you know in Greek, even though you didn't know that you knew Greek. It's the word koinonia. To have fellowship or to have something in common is what it really means. What do we have in common? The gospel. And what do we have in common? God's grace. That's why God is opposed to the proud. Because the proud say, I don't need your grace. I got this. But God gives grace to the humble. What we have in common, for those who are in Christ, is that we've partaken of God's grace. For all Christians who are gospel people, we've all come the same way. We bow the knees of our heart. The ground at the cross is level. Your pedigree, your denomination, your baptism, none of it is a right standing before God. It is by grace alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. When we all know it personally, when we know what it is like to be broken and in need of God's healing grace, then we will have grace for others. It's God's unchanging grace that is changing me. We saw this in Titus. His grace is bringing salvation and training us to renounce ungodliness. And just like the verses before, it's not just that you know about grace, it's that you've actually partaken of it. And what is so beautiful in verse 7 and 8 is love. In verse 3 to 5, it is this wonderful thankfulness. Didn't your heart just be drawn into that when he talked about thankfulness? You said, yes, I know my pastor is thankful for the other pastors. Yes, I know that he's thankful for us as a church. But look at Paul's love here in verse 7 and 8. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. And then he gives the reason, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and defense and confirmation of the gospel. They supported him, even though he was rejected and being tried, and we will see that later on. Look at verse 8. This honesty, this openness, this barrenness before God. God is my witness. These are not just words, Paul is saying. God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. This is what grace does. Grace produces the affection of Jesus in his body. It's the phone call on a Saturday night. I love you, brother. Or Dave who calls me in the morning. Hey, good friend, how you doing? But you know exactly what I'm going to say next. It is not just affection and love between your pastors. Look what Paul says, for you all. Could it be that God wants to do this in First Baptist Church? That God wants to create genuine love and affection for one another? A joyful thankfulness that we are partners in the gospel together? And this wonderful affection that we know we need God's grace. I know I need God's grace. And after I partake of it, and I receive that drink for my soul that only God's grace can satisfy, I will help another. And I will love and truly love. Because it's not my affection. Do you see it in verse 8? Whose affection is it? Whose affection is it? It is the affection of Christ Jesus. We can't do this. That's why it's only by God's grace, and that's why it's a transforming grace. Oh, I pray that your love will abound more and more. That's verse 9. Did you see it? Look at it with your very own eyes. We know our love needs to grow. But all of a sudden, verse 6 makes sense. The verses before, I am so thankful to God that we are partners in the gospel. And I have such affection for you because we share God's grace and we've experienced and partaken of God's grace. And all of this is only possible because God is the one who worked in us from the very beginning. It's his affection. It's his grace. Do you notice it in verse 6? It is not God's good work for you. It's not even God's good work through you, though he does. But verse 6, and this I pray, is God's good work in you. That pronoun is plural. If I was Southern, I'd say God's good work in y'all. Because we're all partners in the gospel, and this grace is a continuing work. This is our confidence. Verse 6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. God, please do your good work. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful book of Philippians. I'm excited about the weeks and years ahead as you continue to do this work. I am truly thankful for my sisters and brothers who have partaken of your grace and are partners in the gospel. I pray that your love will abound more and more. That the affection of Jesus Christ will grow in your church. And that as it does, we will be effective partners in the gospel of Jesus. I pray. Amen.